Podcast, episode 191, The Knot Strikes Back. I'm Saverin.
And I'm Shiva.
And that's all you're getting this week.
We're fuzz light.
Well, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did say it was going to be real crazy time for us going into the near future towards Oklacon.
Mm-hmm. All over the world.
Yep. Last weekend, I was at Anime Fest. You were
at MFM.
Okay.
Fuzz was at MFM with me.
And in the meantime, Fuzz's house got finalized. So they're in the process of packing and moving to the really nice new place. I'm jealous.
Yes. All the envy squiggles.
Envy squiggles and arm flailing. And it's just been really crazy busy. And we're recording on Thursday this week because, well, I'm going to be out of town again. Me and Fuzz are going down to the Brony Fanfare. And we're going to see how that goes. Just he and I. And we'll have a car. So if the event sucks, we will have fun in Austin. We're going down to Austin. Worst case, we have a weekend in Austin.
Oh, no. Not Austin.
So we'll see. I mean, this doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of an event. I think maybe 200 pre-reg was what they got. Could be wrong. It's a small event in Texas with no, like, show staff or anybody. It's just a bunch of fans getting together and having a con. Kind of like a furry con. What do you know?
That's always good.
Yep. So we'll see how that goes. And we'll have a report on next week, I'm sure.
Let's see. I'm just hanging around this weekend doing not much of jack and shit. Yeah. That's really good after a long drive.
Yeah, thankfully Austin's not that far down the road. So I'm going to give you my really brief Anime Fest con report.
Was it a con?
It was kind of crap.
Really?
Yeah, it was really disappointing, right? Anime Fest has been going for 20 years, right? It's a fully volunteer organization, and it was just disorganized as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had better organization year one. Obviously, we're not near as big
and
as they are.
They've been going a long time, too.
20 years. This was their 20th anniversary. I mean, admittedly, they are about 6 times bigger than we are.
Yeah, but still, 20 years.
But still. Yeah. Like, on Friday, I spent an hour and a half in line trying to get my badge because their registration system shit itself, and then the layout
registration systems do,
and the layout was really bad. There was like they didn't even sell at their artist alley, which is weird. But like they had artist alley spaces downstairs, which were open much later hours, but they also had like a double strip of alley spaces upstairs.
That's
if anybody's been to Akon. Anybody in Texas listening, you know how they have the second floor or the elevator and there's that big empty space where normally, like at Akon, they have exhibitors and other vendors. It was a bunch of social tables and a couple of strips of really forlorn looking artist alley vendors. The events themselves are really lackluster, very sparsely attended. I barely took that many cosplay photos, which is really disappointing because I like cosplay and I like really well done cosplay.
Was there not much in the way of good cosplay?
There was some, but not a lot, you know? There actually was somebody who was, you know how in Trigun,
yeah,
Vash is super tall?
Yeah.
There was a dude who was as tall as Vash would be cosplaying as Vash.
Oh?
That was about it, really.
Really?
I mean, there was good stuff, but nothing like, knock it out of the park, holy crap, super awesome, wow.
Yeah, you sit there with your jaw on the floor going,
yeah,
how did you do?
There was plenty of good cosplay, but nothing really to, like, write home about. It was really disappointing. I went on Friday for a few hours, went on Saturday, and then it was just like, didn't even bother after that.
So you didn't go to Sunday at all?
Nope, nor Monday.
Oh, right, Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Durr.
I was just sort of like, I'm going to stay home and play WoW.
Oh, God, the new talent systems are kind of borky.
They're really weird, but, like, all my classes that I normally play got super buffed. So I've been tearing through content.
Well, I would just start really picking at it tonight. I don't know what to think. But before we diverge into WoW.
Tell us about MFM.
So this is my first MFM. I've never gone before. It's my...
Really?
Yeah. I know.
That was a hell of a weekend to go then, huh?
Yeah. Holy crap. So I drove out there with Sarah. Just me and him. We didn't carpool with anybody else. We left at about 1 in the afternoon. I left work, picked him up from the train station, and we drove right for MFM. It's an 8-hour drive from Texas, from Dallas to Memphis. Well, a little bit south. Well, we get just outside of Dallas, about an hour now, half, and it just starts to spit rain. It's like, well, they said that we might run into a little bits of Isaac. Okay. So we're driving along, and it's still kind of spitting, only slowly, you know, just not doing much of anything. Occasionally you drive through patches of it, go away. So I do about half. We basically split up when it was time to refill. So topped up the tank, and Sarah took over. Well, Sarah is used to driving. He's driven a lot. The problem is I've had a manual. And ever since we got together, he's had to learn how to drive a manual, because both of my cars are manuals. So he's okay once you're up to speed, but that whole shifting thing is a little bit daunting. So he takes over, we start driving, and maybe like half an hour after he takes over, the rain really starts to pick up, and then really starts to pick up, and then, oh my God, we just drive through like 4 hours of pouring, pounding down rain to get there. So we were kind of white-knuckling the entire second half of that drive where, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. We didn't hydroplane or get anything too bad. We didn't drive too crazy, but it was still, visibility was not the best. I'm glad
that sounds like it would suck.
Yes. Well, there's more. So get out there late Thursday night, meet up with the person that we were rooming with. We were rooming with Rama. And there was another gent in the room. I'm trying to remember his name. I hadn't met him before. Oh, Tavix. So we met up with them, got settled in the room, said hi to a couple people, and not much more than that. Friday morning, so I got there late on Thursday, and Rama says, I haven't been able to get a hold of my help. You'd emailed me about maybe getting some volunteer hours to, you know, help get a comp. Well, my volunteer hasn't replied to me. Like, I think he said he emailed him like 2 weeks ago, got a maybe. Nothing since. He emailed him like earlier that week, nothing. So as far as he knew, he hadn't heard or seen from his help, and he was going to be doing it alone. So he asked if there's, you know, anything, you know, do you mind, you know, like covering for me for lunches and such? He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. I don't mind. I like Rama. And the other stand is my native habitat. Well, I get up Friday morning, not exactly racing to get out the door because, well, it's con, it's my vacation.
It's Friday. There's nothing going on yet.
Yeah, basically. Their den opens up at noon on Friday. So we go down, we stand in registration line, we get registered, and then just kind of poke around, and eventually I go to stick my nose in the den to see if Rama's going to need me to, like, cover him for lunch. Lo and behold, his helper hadn't shown up, no sign of him, and yeah, he's going to need my help. It's like, okay, so he sends me up. It's like, well, let's go ahead and sends me back upstairs to get a yellow badge, which is staff. So first time to MFM, been registered 30 minutes, staff.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. I once again end up inhabiting my native habitat for a good chunk of the con, which is fine because, well, I like the den. His help does eventually show up. Turned out that he had been moving for, like, last week from, like, New Jersey to Nashville or Memphis, something like that. He was now local. That's why he'd been incommunicado. But he was there, and he was locally. Rama did all day with occasionally taking off her food and hit some panels. Guy did morning, I did afternoon. And so...
You got your hours.
I got my hours. And, did a couple of neat things. I didn't go to any panels because, to be honest, I don't usually go to panels. Mornings, we usually dicked around the room, maybe visited around the hotel, and it was usually of, where do you want to go to lunch? Try to wrestle up everybody to actually go to lunch. And then when I came back, I covered the den for the second half of the night, the afternoon. Went to some really, really good food places out there. We went to...
Yeah, there's some decent places.
Well, we went and we had barbecue one day. Tom's Barbecue, which is on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It was Tom's Barbecue and Deli. Fantastic ribs. Absolutely mind-blowingly good ribs. We went to the sushi place right outside the hotel. That's really easy to get to. And that was really, really good sushi. Mm-hmm. We did Wimpy's Burgers. And one place we went to was the Arcade Cafe in downtown Memphis, which is the oldest restaurant in Memphis. Elvis used to eat there, as they're happy to tell you. And I went with Sarah, Spike, and... God, I'm blanking because I'm tired. Sarah, Spike, me, and... Christ... I'm going to feel dumb for forgetting. And the other three ordered, like, Elvis's famous peanut butter and fried banana sandwich. It was like a grilled cheese sandwich, toasted bread with peanut butter and banana.
Sounds good.
It was actually really delicious. The peanut butter was all melty, and it was perfectly crisp. I got the Memphis thing, which was like turkey, roasted red peppers, brie. It was really good, just way too much mustard. Way, way, way too much mustard.
Mm-hmm. So did you survive the power outages?
Yeah, so... yeah, Sunday tornado con. So there was a couple flickers throughout the weekend, and then Sunday it really started coming down, and me and Sarah took off to get food, and it was really raining when we left. And then I'm driving, trying to white-knuckle through, again, driving rain because, God damn it, I'm hungry. And Sarah's watching tweets. And then Keo texts us of, power went out, tornado nearby. They're all gathering us in the middle. It's like, yay, we're far away because we're like 9 miles away at this point at a burger joint. Saying, you know, yeah. So, yeah, there was a funnel cloud near the hotel. I don't know if it actually touched down, but it was very visible. There's pictures of it. We got back. We stayed where we were until the tornado watch, warning, whatever it is when they actually see a tornado passed, because we were watching the Weather Channel at the burger place. And we drive back once that's passed. The power's still out in the hotel. It's out for like another hour after we get there, but we just kind of went up to the room and derped around until the power came back.
But, how did the maglocks work?
They're battery powered.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all of those are battery powered. So,
or I know.
It was a really weirdly subdued con. The dealer said the den just seemed really, really quiet. Sales were down overall, and, just, we looked really, really hard for a party to go to. Because Friday night, it was just a bunch of the Dallas folks and a couple of their friends from out of town got together, sat around a room, and visited and hung out and did our usual shenanigans, but in Memphis. And then Saturday night, we went looking really, really hard for room parties. We could not find a single room party anywhere. I mean, we looked. So unless they were either closed or, you know, but they're not one of the ones where they throw open the door and, you know, you just join in. And Sunday night after the tornado and power outage shenanigans, the con kind of came alive during that bullshit and shortly after. But after that, it was like everybody lost their steam and it just kind of petered off. And
kind of went out with a whimper.
Yeah, well, the thing is Friday night was probably the funnest late-night social gathering that there was. Saturday night we went looking, couldn't find anything. Ended up kind of sitting down in the lobby for a little bit.
Did they do the pizza or the ice cream social this year?
Yeah, they did both. I was still stuffed with sushi for the pizza. Mm-hmm. And, well, ice cream. We managed to actually get them get some ice cream in the den. We actually had to go send Sarah to get some because Rama couldn't leave. I couldn't leave. And, it took some finagling to give him extra ice cream. You know, like Rama had to send a staff ad. She said, no, look, staff wants ice cream. They can't come. And eventually they gave us ice cream.
They're like, oh, okay, I guess. Gosh. They're only sacrificing their event to be in the dealer's den all weekend.
Well, when they do the ice cream social is when all the dealers are packing up.
Yeah.
So we can't leave because we're packing up dealers. It's about the only time we can't actually leave the den. Let's see. That's about it. So dealer's den ate our heads off. Not much in the way of party. Oh my god, rain. Oh my god, tornadoes. And then 8 hours of driving in each direction.
Wow.
I had actually a good time. I mean,
and that's the important bit.
So it was nice seeing people. Good to see Rama and a couple of other folks that they're the same people who come into Dallas periodically, but they're still good to see now and again. Well, whenever I see them. So.
Oh.
So. That was pretty much it. I accidentally all the staff. Again.
Well, it's good to be useful, though.
Yes, I am helping. I am helping. So, this weekend, I'm planning on doing a hell of a lot of nothing. Sitting on my ass. And probably playing video games.
Yay, that sounds great.
Next weekend, there's apparently like a steampunk ball somewhere in town. And Sarah wanted to go with one of his other local friends. Apparently there's that band that he likes, Steam Powered Giraffe, actually playing at it. So may go with him, may not. Don't know yet. It depends on what comes up. So plus, I don't have anything like a steampunk outfit. Or anything even remotely close. I have no cosplay. So I'd feel kind of weird going in, like, street clothes. Plus, they look at me strange. So, we shall see.
But the, so, yeah, WoW 5.0.
Yes.
The, that happened. It's a thing.
I'm not sure what I really think of it. It's,
you know, I don't think a lot of it's like the talent points kind of don't matter in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all provide something useful and they're all situational by themselves. And like,
I've combed through Druid and Shaman. And Druid is like, that's useful. It's like, ooh, 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 ooh. You know, I can go right through and pick easily. Oh, I want that one, that one. Shaman is like, I don't know. Maybe, I guess. I'll throw a dart and whatever it hits, I'll take. So, two completely different things.
Yeah. Huh. That's kind of cool. Yeah, for like, a lot of, like, some of the characters, like, one of their talent points is just like, click this, heal 30% of your health.
Mm-hmm.
2-minute cooldown. Okay, so, but yeah, like I said, a lot of my characters, they feel like they got super buffed. I don't know if they nerfed the content for Kata, the Kata content down, because mm-hmm. I tore through 81 to 85 on my rogue and my shadow priest. And so they're now 85. They're doing some crazy numbers. And like a lot of the stuff that was really, really sweet,
mm-hmm.
talent wise, that was like, this is a really awesome benefit of my spec, is now baseline.
Hmm.
So the rogue, while stealth, there's no energy cost. So their ambush attacks, mm-hmm. like ambush and all that, cost no energy. So you have full energy bar when you start combat.
Versus
your you spend strangling. All your energy in two hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also a built-in talent that whenever you kill something with recuperate or slice and dice active, it recovers it straight back to maximum duration.
Hmm.
So if you're like massacring a section of a zone, you will always have these two buffs going as long as you can kill them within 40 seconds of each other.
So just kind of keep it chaining.
Yeah. Like shamans now provide like three of their auras. They have like three auras on them at all times that they give to everybody around them. They give like a spell power aura, a haste aura,
mm-hmm.
and a think they also give like attack power just by being around.
Mm-hmm.
The changes like that, like the mages, they have some really just ridiculous talents now. You know, the really terrible frost orbs that Torvon the Frost Watcher would drop, and
yes.
that is now one of their abilities, and it hits like a truck. So, I mean, it's just like they've made a lot of neat changes. It's you have a lot more abilities, but you also don't have certain abilities anymore. Like, as an arcane mage, I can't cast fireball.
Yeah, as a enhancement shaman, I have one healing spell, and it's a chain.
So no, you also have, I thought you also had the healing surge.
I might, but I don't have, like, just a simple heal me.
Yeah, you don't have the simple healing touch anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's a glyph now for druid that lets you cast, like for moonkin, lets you cast rejuvenation and stuff while in moon form.
Yes, I saw that.
Which is super useful if I wasn't leveling kitty cat. So it's like 5.0 is coming. Pandas are coming.
The pandas are coming. The pandas are coming. So much
rule 34 is coming.
Yes, because you know.
Oh, yeah. There already is some. Once everybody gets their filthy paws all over the Pandaren females. And the Pandaren males, if you like the big, buff, muscly dudes.
I'd rather curvy panda girls, but, you know, that's me.
They're actually really short, too.
Right
after the rolling restarts, for some reason, they were the selected PvP guys. So mm-hmm. you had the, you know, Pandaren standing around town, like, during Eye of the Storm weekend or whatever, and had them walking around. So it was like, hey, there's pandas.
Yay, pandas. That was one thing that sucked. That guy, Michael Clark Duncan, died this week.
Yeah. Actually, several other people died. I think, like, some football player died, too.
He was the only one I had heard about. So I always liked him.
Like, Judy Blume has cancer and stuff like that. No. There's plenty of negative shit that happened in the last couple weeks, too. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
That's a lot of, like, food places and stuff.
What you looking at? The BronyCon?
Yeah, I'm looking at the location of the Brony Fanfare, and it's right near, what is the name of the mall? There's a mall. If it would load. I don't know. Near Airport Boulevard. There's Austin Community College. There's restaurants. Obviously a mall parking lot. Chinese place. Won't have to worry about.
That's one thing I liked about MFM. So much stuff like right handy to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I end up bopping in and out of like Walgreens a couple times. There's plenty of places to eat within walking distance.
It's Highland just, Mall.
It's just a nice little location. And I like that we had the whole entire hotel and area to ourselves. No cheerleaders or anything else. All it is furries. Everybody's a furry. You don't have to worry about that kind of shit.
Yeah, that's always nice. Like, Akon, or not Akon, Anime Fest had, God, I hate to say it, but the ghettoest black family reunion ever at like going on at the same time. It was obviously a big family because they'd rented out a couple of the large ballrooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
they were ghetto as fuck. Just like these dudes looking every bit the hood rat, walking around with their saggy ass pants and their hats on retarded, gawking and like trying to hit on every cosplaying female that passed.
Oh god.
I'm like, you fucking hood rats.
Shut up. Stop hitting on the enemy girls.
Yeah, and they were blasting their loud ass music through the halls too. It's really just it really helped bring down the entire event, in my opinion.
A titch?
A little bit. It was just, and like you had the kids wandering around and the hoochie mama with her five or six kids trailing around behind her. You know, I'm not even being like stereotypical here. I saw this with my own eyes. You know, it was just this, it was like every terrible stereotype in one place at one time.
Yeah. I've never done A-Fest. I've done A-Con.
I don't think I'm going to in the future.
Just not.
Yeah, I was like, I'll save my 35 space bucks.
Yes.
So, yeah, we should read an email or two, I think.
Six.
Yeah, we've got like 22 emails, even though some of them are like derps. Yeah. And one of them's Twitter, saying, hey, Twitter. Hey, Notcast, here's what's happening on Twitter.
Yay.
I'm like, don't need to know. So I'm going to read an email.
You do that.
All right. So this is from the Wolfie Man. He has come to tell us we were wrong. This is an email back from the 10th. So we actually have a lot of stuff going back a couple days. A couple days. Yeah. let's see. Somebody's wrong on the internet.
Oh, God. Not
I'm
that.
Sorry. Normally, I wouldn't correct somebody like this. But Dahmer wasn't a clown. That was Gacy. John Wayne Gacy. I just felt obligated to point out that Wisconsin doesn't have the monopoly on Midwestern serial killers, since Gacy was a Chicagoan and all. Speaking of Chicago, have any of you ever tried doing double duty on cons? I'm going to MFF this year, but it turns out the Days of the Dead is running just 20 minutes down the road, and I was considering stopping by one day to see if there's anything interesting in the vendors area. Sound doable?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if it's that, by Andrew, scoot out, check it out, and come back.
That's right. First, some on-topic material for you. Anybody who has seen my F-list or read my stories can tell you that I've got a bundle of different quirks. Socks, not feet, but socks and stockings, traps, dumb sub play of various sorts. I seem to have a major thing for androgyny and for kinks that play into a sort of a nurturing drive. This is a callback to Wheel of Fetishes 4. That's where the dom sub play usually comes in, really. While some days the power dynamic appeals, it's usually more the idea of taking care of somebody and the pleasure of seeing them relax into the submissive role, which, in its own way, feeds the power dynamic, but in a way that's a bit different from how some people describe it, I think. It plays the types of scenes I like to RP, teacher-student, but not necessarily the extra credit type thing, but other roles where there is a power dynamic going on, but it's not being abused. As for the androgyny, I chalk that up to being bi and really having a thing for traps. Also, like Fuzz asked once, it's still a trap if you're happy with... Is it still a trap if you're happy with the results? Now, if you're in the mood, I've got a nope story for you. Nope. Otherwise, go ahead and skip this paragraph. I'm in the mood. This isn't actually a story, but one that happened to my aunt. You see, my family has a history of psychic phenomena. Among other gifts, my aunt in particular has a knack for remote viewing. Well, there was this one time she tried putting that talent to use to find a local boy who'd gone missing. She'd had an impression of him, but given that what she was seeing was out in the wild, it was hard to pin down the exact location. She tried to move her point of view further away to see more around him, and whatever she saw basically blinded her, psychically, for the next few years. She's since largely repressed exactly what she saw, but since then, my aunt's ability to see things remote like that have been limited to within a few inches of whatever she's looking for. And typically restricted to finding things like lost keys, purses, glasses, rather than people. A few days after she told my mother about what happened, a body was found. Somebody had killed the boy and dumped him in a field.
Jesus.
Yee. On a more lighthearted note, your mention of 50 Shades of Grey reminded me of Friend's nope story from earlier this year. He was talking about how his dad was getting his mother a Kindle for Mother's Day and had suggested he get 50 Shades of Grey for his gift to her. I asked him if he knew what the book was. He said, yeah, it's some sort of romance novel. I informed him that, at least from what I could tell, it was actually a BDSM master-slave romance novel with some relatively hardcore scenes in it. Then it asked me if he thought his dad knew that. A few minutes later, he told me he sincerely hoped not, that he was going to go scrub his brain with a cheese grater to get the image out of his head. I love going doing good deeds for my friends. Smiley face. Helen Lear's The Wolfie Man. Well, thank you for writing in. I'm sorry that I am not fully chalked up on my serial killer lore. And as for the remote viewing, that sounds really creepy.
Yes.
She's seen some shit.
So, we still have a whole bunch of Wheel of Fetishes. So, this is really Wheel of Fetishes Part B. So,
Part Q.
It's the flip side. Side B. Let's see. Wheel of Fetishes 4. Dear Notcast, it's me, that crazy Otter of Fortune, writing in again. Now here to comment on this week's topics, and last week's, and maybe next week's again. I don't know. It depends on how long it keeps running. I have several kinks and fetishes, but the most prominent one I'm into are dom sub and voyeurisms. I should note I'm still a virgin. All of my kinks have been developed online from a wide variety of people. I'm a dom at heart. I like being on top and have a lot of fun with it. Before I get into anything sexual, I take a certain amount of time to get to know my partner's own kinks and turn-ons. Then I plays those like a harp. If you recall from your lazy fan's first mention of me, I'm a writer. I'm rather creative, and I'm told I'm good with words. I find it fun to take my partner's kinks and run wild with them, going that extra mile and even surprising them with what I say. During voice chat, I find it always fun to make them writhe and moan in pleasure just from my words alone, filling their head with a particularly hot scene for them to fap to. It's pretty hot for me, too, hearing them get lost in their pleasure. I'm also very open and easygoing. It takes a lot to make me uneasily sexually. That, and if I paint it the right way in my mind with the right person, a lot of those kinks lose their oddities. At least in the moment. Context also helps and can really make a difference with me on certain kinks. Then there's the voyeurism. I can't talk. I'm a cat. let's see. I'm more of a compliment to an exhibitionist than the kind of guy who climbs trees and spies on a couple passionately making love to one another. It also applies to other kinks I might have an interest in real life, but don't particularly want to take part in. Kinks on the more extreme side of things I'd rather seen done than do to myself. That's what makes this otter tick. I hope you've enjoyed my little contribution and look forward to your reactions. You are pervertedly Fortune Otter. I know what he means, at least as far as being flexible, and it sounds like he's kind of like me in a way. Even if you're not into something, you can adapt to it and kind of take pleasure, or at least appreciate it if somebody else is into it. And if you were not with them anymore, you probably wouldn't do them natively. But at least as long as they're getting their kicks, it's okay.
Yep.
So, I very much appreciate that. Let's see. So, that's... other than that, it sounds pretty... nothing too terribly out there.
You're relatively normal. Congratulations. Beep boop.
Not that kinky.
I am a robot. So this next email...
Read it like that.
I was five, and what was this? Hello, Notcast. Disable here again. The asexual vorophile from 2 weeks back.
Oh, that's perfect asexual.
First of all, thank you for reading my email. Your input was very interesting, especially Fuzzle's comment about how a fetish can still be considered a sexual as long as you don't imagine a dude coming everywhere, as he put it. Having either party sexually enjoy the experience is, in fact, a major turn-off for me. I'd already noticed this about myself. Because let's be honest, being turned off by the idea of someone being turned on is pretty weird. I just never connected those dots to my asexuality before. Don't you dare get a boner inside my stomach! No! He just starts punching himself. No! This sucks! I'm gonna devour you! Anyways, well, as I already wrote my last email, if it were for Wheel of Fetishes, there's actually another I thought I'd like to share on the subject. I've been in divorce literally as long as I can remember. Of course, back when I was 6, I didn't understand why playing Kirby's Dream Land and Game Boy made me uncomfortable in my pants. But it did piece together. It had something to do with the idea of being swallowed. Apparently, a lot of people in the Vore community had a similar experience, having had a weird relationship with Vore quite a while before they were sexually developed. Now, I feel quite silly for asking this, but is this normal? What is the first time you remember having a physical reaction to one of your fetishes? How old were you at the time? It's all for me. Being outside your target audience, I should probably go back to lurker mode where I belong. Keep casting those knots. A sexual listener. Huh. Disable. I would say probably.
Normalcy is relative.
Yeah, but I would say that, like, really liking a thing and then it evolving into a sexual fetish really isn't that far out there.
Well, he said it made it funny in his pants, so I think it was kind
of... Well, okay, so it's a sexual fetish? I don't know. Asexual.
Now, I'll preface this by saying I don't remember ever having anything inappropriate done to me. First time I had any kind of reaction, well, I know I was figured out what to do before I was 7, so I've been doing that kind of thing. I remember it being really young. I mean, like, really, really young. Long before I was sexually mature, I figured out, hey, this is fun. I don't know what I'm doing, but it feels really fun. So that I'm probably pretty out there. And I don't remember when my kinks kicked in. So just young. Really, really young.
Yeah. I really don't... I mean... I don't really know. I mean, obviously I was a kid and, you know, you know, I never had anything happen like that happen to me either, so...
Yeah.
In terms of, like, molestation or anything.
Yeah, like I said...
I was just a kid with a boner and didn't know what to do with it. Then I figured it out. I never stopped.
If I do this, it feels really good. I don't know what it is. Oh, and then, I don't know, like, later on I figured out, oh, that's what you call that. Well... So,
read an email.
Let's see. We love other people's fetishes. Let's see. Dear Notcast crew, when it comes to kink and bedroom delights, I'm somewhat vanilla in real life. I enjoy giving orgasms, particularly via cunnilingus, and general romantic bedroom sappiness more than the average person. I would have had in the past quite happily gone an entire evening with a partner without asking them to touch me, delighting far more in lavishing them with all the affection and eroticism they can handle, and then some. I know this is true of most healthy relationships, but I really do get off on my partner getting off. Online, however, as a writer who makes money via commission work, I get the chance to learn about, explore, and even appreciate all sorts of kinks which I would not otherwise spend my time thinking about. Inflation, micro-macro, sub-dom, bondage, incest, foot fetishism, transformation, food play, tail sex, tours, herm tours, tunification, exhibition, and voyeurism. These are all just some of the more common kinks I'm asked to write about into people's stories. When writing them, I find myself able to enjoy pushing the limits of what I like, finding out what other people feel special and unique about these particular sex acts. Of course, there are some kinks that I won't touch with a 10-foot pole, no matter how much I'm being paid. Rule number 3, breakages are a no-no, as is anything wholly non-consensual or involving minors in sexual situations. My yep. basic rule of thumb is good, clean fun. So long as it's clean, no illegal out. Shut. No.
Illegalities.
Illegalities. I cannot parse my syllables.
You cannot enter words.
I am so L-shaped tonight. Blood or rule 3, and fun for all those involved, it's all good. Now for non-topic question, and sorry guys, but this one is more or less exclusively directed at the queen of the Notcast kingdom. No, not Kyo, I mean Shiva. Okay. Oh, mighty L-shaped one, I hear you like to cook. I, too, adore cooking. And this is a question I always ask people when I find out they share this particular hobby with me. If you had the budget and the ability to buy the most top-class ingredients, what would your perfect three-course meal to cook for either of your mates or yourself? Oh, I guess on the off chance Fuzz and Saverin don't simply subsist on toner cartridges and whatever crumbs fall out of Panther's beard as he sleeps, they can answer this too if they have any ideas. Your ever-enthusiastic Jeeves Saru, Scotland. P.S. I mentioned Keo earlier. I think I have to register to vote for the sexiest voice with him, too. Goddamn, I love a sassy southern queen. I'll pass it on to him. I'm sure he'll love to hear. I don't know about three-course meal. I know I've done some. I want to try another, do either another prime rib, because I really like doing beef roast. And I'm still trying to get that perfect medium rare. I would like to do another standing rib or prime rib roast. I did that for Christmas last year, and I want to try again. And I'm usually trying to perfect something to do with chocolate because, well, I'm a girl, and I really, really, really like dark chocolate. I want to try either perfecting a chocolate mousse or I experimented with, and I want to try to do pot de creme again, which is basically kind of like a chocolate custard, kind of. It's hard to describe. It involves coffee, a blender, and screaming hot coffee, and eggs. And it comes out really, really tasty. I just need to make the next one a little less dark because even I have limits, and holy crap, that was almost teeth. Grittingly dark chocolate. For appetizers, I haven't done too many, so I'd have to think on that one a little bit. But I'd really like to do nice standing rib roast, really good potatoes, and a nice chocolate dessert. Details would be worked out closer to. So, yeah, I like to cook a lot.
Let's see, for me, I would probably be like fancy breads and cheese platter, like cheese tester things that Panther likes.
I could see that. That would be good.
It's like an appetizer, filet mignon with carrots and steamed broccoli, and something ridiculously chocolate for dessert.
Yes.
Like chocolate cake.
So
there you go.
There you go. That's our food fapping for tonight. Let's see. Next one's yours.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. This one's for Fuzz.
I'm sorry, he's not here.
Too bad. Reading the email anyway. Hey everyone, present and not in this episode. I was debating to write in for Wheel of Fetishes because I wasn't sure if my biggest kink could really out there enough for you guys. It's pregnancy, in case you're wondering. And listening to last week's episode, when the guys were talking about RL versus RP master pet relationships, Fuzz asked for people in actual healthy relationships like that to write. So here I am. I must admit that being on the road so much does hamper my activities with my kitten a lot, but we do live the roles when we can. Most of our pet play is only in the bedroom or an online RP when I'm away, but she does call me master and I call her kitten almost exclusively. In fact, one of my fondest memories of this is when we were on the phone and I called her that when saying goodbye. It was out of habit and I knew no one else would hear it said. What I didn't expect was she reacted with the same habit in the middle of the grocery store with other people around and was very confident in calling me master when she told me bye in return. It wasn't until the words had already left her mouth when she realized what she had said and noticed a couple of raised eyebrows from one or two other ladies on the same aisle as her. I didn't mean for that to happen, but it still brought a smile to my face nonetheless. The key to our relationship is ensuring that we're both happy in our roles and nothing is pushed too far too often. As a pet, she's my companion, not my slave. Also, I still value and want her input for our day-to-day life choices. What I say isn't law. As far as the rules go, I'm not that strict with her. In fact, sometimes I think I'm too lenient. I care about her so much that when she agrees to do something with me she doesn't really want, I still can't bring myself to do it. Much of my enjoyment of anything sexual is from seeing my partner enjoying it as well. If I know she's only going along with me because it's something I like, I find myself a little turned off. It doesn't matter how many times she says it's okay because she still enjoys the act of serving, just wants me to enjoy myself. On the other hand, there are things that I do have pretty much absolute control over her with. We've been currently training on orgasm control, where she isn't allowed to climax until I give her permission. Our current goal is to eventually make her come by verbal command alone with no physical stimulation. Okay. Not sure if that will happen with us, but it's possible for some women. Also been given the duty of being in charge of her birth control. She also has the same fetish I do with pregnancy, but she still takes the pills because I tell her to. When I decided I wanted to start a family with her, I had to command her to go off the pill. Outside the bedroom, we're just like any normal couple. The only thing that would hint at our fun, save for the aforementioned phone call, she wears a pendant around her neck that labels her as my kitten. I do think of trying to live this kind of lifestyle 24/7 could get taxing, but who knows? Maybe that's why many master-pet relationships fail in the real world, when the younger people usually see trying to get into it. Sure, there are small things that my mate and I do all the time that could be considered my ownership of her, but they're not that far out of the normal, and most people probably wouldn't even notice. It's one thing to completely dominate someone, or to be the complete sub in the bedroom. To try and live that role all the time would be way too forced, and I could easily see it leading to friction between me and my kitten. Humans aren't wired to have these kinds of pack mentalities all the time, and eventually the independent nature of people will try to take over, and then you start getting clashed between supposed masters and pets. There's also something called life that interferes, and you don't have to deal with in RP-based relationships. Online, you don't have to worry about paying the bills, keeping a roof over your head, or food in your belly. You're just there for the moment, and none of that matters anymore. At least, that's my view on the whole thing, and why they fail. The expectations of people wanting this are way too high when they're inexperienced. The trucking fox is actually on top. Naree Mooncat. P.S. Fuzz. You would take I-35 up to Salina, Kansas, and across I-70 to Denver? That's nuts. Okay, maybe have a little different opinion on it because I drive for a living and taking the shortest, most efficient route is critical. But really, you're adding 100 miles to your trip that you don't need. 287 pretty much runs right up to Denver and dumps you out not far east of there. It's also a pretty good highway, and you'd really have to be booking it big time to go your way and make it in less time. I also think 287 is less boring, though they're both pretty boring routes through a lot of nothing. So there you go.
I'll point him at that.
Yeah, you know, you're the voice of experience in this one, Naree. Because, you know, you've been doing it a while, and these dang kids want to do their master pet thing in the real life. Not knowing what it's worth.
Let's see.
So, yeah. Thanks for writing in.
I'll be happy not to drive for a little while. I'm not used to doing 8-hour stints anymore. It wasn't too bad of a drive, but, you know. Let's see. Okay, this next one's kind of... Okay. Religious Tofu. Konnichiwa, podcasters. I remember a time and me were having some drinks together, and next thing I knew, he was inside of me. All joking aside, like most furs, biting can be a big yes, but my friend took it in a different direction and latched
onto his earlobe.
Mm-hmm. I swear if he had bit any harder, I would have a pierced ear now, but he just bit my ear hard and went to town on me. Next morning, my ears were red and descended. I guess that's how Buddha felt with his ears. Well, that's my kink story for you, from the Whiskey of the West, Ember. P.S. Do you think a tongue piercing improves a blowjob? I got my tongue pierced, and the first time I tried it was the first time I made anyone come just from oral. I've heard it does, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know, but I imagine the extra sensation would probably be pretty good.
Yeah. Like, I've heard repetitively that yes, it does help.
Yep. And I don't really plan on getting anything pierced to help test it, so I'll just have to go with the theory here. I was hoping, like, Religious Tofu, that could be interesting.
Unfortunately, nothing about tofu, so.
Let's see. Fetish links, it says. I'm not going to spam you with a list of my fetishes, since I'm only an exhibitionist in certain settings, but one in particular to the fandom, furry fandom, is tails. fairly standard body part fetish, but a character with a long plush tail is simply more attractive to me than one without. Except for wolfesses, but they get a pass because insert fox joke here. Also, one thing that has fascinated me about fetishes is how they tend to chain into each other. Interest in X leads to Y, which can chain into Z, which, via some fifth-dimensional logic, opens you up to the square root of 47. Do y'all have any fetishes that grew directly from interest in something else? Moonshine Fox.
Not really. I think mine all kind of stem from my love of being kind of dom, but that's about it. Usually mine, I don't know if that's quite the same thing. It's not like I went from foot fetish to, I don't know, stocking loving or whatever that else.
Yeah. I mean, most of mine is like, you know, the tickling, the bondage, the stuff like that. It's just there. And it all kind of melts into one overarching kink pile for me.
Kink pile. I like that. Kink pile.
Well, I mean, you can combine them into so many different ways. Temperature play. And
yeah. So
I wouldn't say for me that it chained into it. It's just that everything sort of went together at the same time.
It's been a while. Yeah, I guess. Just kind of a melting pot. Oh, God. No, don't start singing that. Yeah. Bad, bad fox. No biscuit.
Oh, that's okay. I had a blizzard earlier.
And now, I swear, when we get out of here, I'm going to call the guys and say we're going to go get ice cream. Because, damn it.
It was really good. I hadn't had one since coming back from AC, I think.
Well, see, when I go out to get ice cream, I make them get ice cream so I can have a little bit. I can't do a full thing, so I just steal bites. So I make them be fatty fat so I don't go into diabetic coma. All right, my turn. Where do you want to... Oh, we still got a ton to go through. A quick follow-up and a dear thanks. I'm listening to episode 185 in which you read my email entitled An Emotional Conundrum Redo. In hindsight, I can see where you're all coming from, clearly. Since this email was sent, things have changed a bit. She did break up with her boyfriend, which, as terrible a person as it makes me sound, pleased me. I didn't actively try to make it happen, I swear. I have nothing generally bad to say, genuinely bad to say about him. I met him before I was aware that they were dating, and he was genuinely a decent person, if not a little bland. God damn it, I cannot fucking talk tonight. I usually have been doing better. I've also hung out with her since. We're still friends, and I've not made any advances for more or less the same reasons you three stated. In hindsight, I saw the creepiness that could and very well may have come through. Of late, I've been pursuing my own goals. You know, getting accepted into UNT from the, I don't know what DCCD is.
Dallas County Community College District.
Okay, I'm glad you know. Finding an apartment with my other roommate and getting to work for a transfer out to Louisville or Denton. I've been happier without this girl on my mind. She's one less weight on my already overworked site. I don't know how I'll fare with her being closer to me, as opposed to the hour plus I had to drive at Current from the outskirts of Mesquite to Flower Mountain or Denton. But I think I'm prepared to deal. She will not be living with me and my friend, which is part of the reason I don't really seek her out anymore. She pissed me off. She committed to getting a place with the two of us, and we were close to signing a lease, and she upped and dropped us to live with some boy she met the semester before. Que sera. Simply enough, my hindsight gave me the same advice that the three of you did, but still greatly appreciated, hearing it from an uninvolved third, fourth, and fifth parties, respectively. For the record, I don't actively try to be a creep. It just kind of happens periodically. Not often, mind you, but occasionally. Thanks again, Klein. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. Lutre?
Lutre, yeah, sure.
I'm going to guess an otter, maybe?
Quite possibly. Yeah, well, the email has otter in it, so you're correct.
Yay! Oh, I guess it does. So, yes, otter.
Yeah, you know,
no, I won't
doing
say
college, sometimes it's better to be single. Because, well...
Well, that's what killed my college, honestly. I was a nerd, got into college, hadn't had a boyfriend, found a boyfriend, broke up with boyfriend, went into spiraling death spiral of depression. And yeah.
Yeah.
Looking back, I don't regret the time and money spent because it made me it taught me how to be a social person other than just, you know, grades. So I did good going to that college for a year, but at the same time, I kind of wish I hadn't quite spiraled down as far as I did. So.
Yeah. What can I say?
Yeah.
It's just a crazy date dudes.
I was dating dude. That was a problem.
Oh, that's your problem. Wait.
Yeah, I dated a dude. My first boyfriend. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's we're about 55 minutes in. We're going to go to break real here. Got a song for you this week. It's called, well, you'll find out. And I think it's really cute. It's tangentially pony related, but it's still just a really nice, cute song. I hope nobody's ears catch fire. And if you start crying while driving, well, you might want to pull over.
Remember, stop, drop, roll.
Yep.
It was a dark day when I lost my faith. It wasn't the pony I thought I'd be. And it seemed that no one could relate. There was nothing left for me to see. So I took a walk to the edge of the town. The thought of leaving it all behind. When I saw a little letter fall right out of the sky. As a gray mare hovered way up high. Thought I was crazy when I saw her wave and then simply fly away. So I opened the letter and looked inside, and what was written made my day. It said, isn't it great to be different? Exactly who you are when you learn to start accepting yourself, you'll become a shining star. To this day, I shed. 'Cause at that moment something inside me changed, and a bright new path I led. I ran back home and I picked up my old guitar, and I started strumming these chords. Exactly who you are when you learn to start accepting yourself. You'll become a shining star.
Play and sing before.
last few years flew by just like a blur. I'm now exactly where I should be. And I know I owe it all to her, that beautiful mare who believed in me. Isn't it great to be different? Isn't it wonderful to be exactly who you are? When you learn to start accepting yourself, you'll become a shining
So that was a cute and sweet song titled Isn't It Great to Be Different by Forest Rain. It's a cute, cute little song. Tearjerker, especially if you see the video with the story behind it.
Put that in the show notes?
I'll put it in the show notes. Then, I mean, you know, any kind of thing like that, this is fandom stuff. It can apply to pretty much any fandom.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on.
To something a little bit more cheerful?
To something a little more cheerful, a little more fun, something to stick in you. We're going to go back to the adult stuff now.
So
Shiva.
Dong, da, dong, dong.
Oh, we have our sponsor, adamandeve.com, and every week we pick an item out and tell you about it and tell you our coupon codes. You can maybe go pick it up or anything else from their fine selection of pleasurable items.
And you too can have something cheap to stick in you, sometimes repetitively.
Yeah.
So this week has a 5-star review. It's got 326 reviews. It's a Cyberglass 4-Way G. It is a glass dildo. It's I don't think it's for anal use, but let's see. It's waterproof. It's a big chunk of glass. Of course, it's waterproof. It's a clear glass. It's got a blue spiral along the outside. It's got a tip for your G-spot, a textured shaft. It's got a clitoral stimulator, an anal stimulator, hypoallergenic. Like I said, it's glass. Let's see. The Cyberglass 4-Way G combines the smooth sensuality of a real glass sex toy with all the bumps, ridges, and hot textures you love to lust over. With the firmness lasts all night long and amazing ability to retain heat or cold, you experience pleasure like never before the first time you slipped in the sheet with a fun sex toy. So it's really good for temperature play. It's smooth glass material, ribbed and bulbous texture, dual heads for twice the fun. It's got a velvet storage bag, also does good for temperature retention, hot and cold, fun for beginners as well as intermittent and advanced sex toy users. It's 8.5 inches long and 1.5 inches wide. At the slender end, a rounded tip is gently curved for G-spot tickling and teasing. Beneath, the shaft is accented by raised cobalt blue swirls that work magic on the sensitive vaginal entrance with each subtle movement. Switch the toy around and experience a smooth bulb-shaped head crowned in a decorative pinpoint tip for precise G-spot stimulation inside, or clitoral massage externally. Beneath, a textured bulb awaits to enhance a full climatic effect as it slides deep inside. Glass is compatible with both silicone and water-based lubricants, because it's glass, and the intuitive shape of this toy makes it easy to hold, even with the lubricated fingertips. Glass is a safe and pleasurable material that can be used without worry and will not break or chip, even with frequent intimate use. As with all glass sex toy, care must be taken not to drop the toy on a hard surface, and the Cyberglass 4-Way G should not be used if there's any visible or tangible damages on the toy if it is accidentally dropped. Don't put broken glass in your cooch. Just saying.
Just saying.
To keep your glass dildo in great condition, be sure to wash it after each use with a mild soap and water or toy cleaner so it is fresh and ready for your next pleasurable session. A free velvet drawstring bag is included to keep your toy safe during storage or travel. So, yes. It looks fun. It at least looks pretty. You know, it's got a nice curved tip and it's got kind of a smaller bulby tip. And, you know, like I said, it's clear and it's got that pretty blue spiral. It looks like it would be fun to stuff in me, but it is $34.95. But as always, with our coupon code KNOT, K-N-O-T, you get a number of nice little goodies. You get free shipping. You get 50% off one item. That doesn't apply to everything on sites. Some of the more expensive toys will give you only a little bit off, not the full 50%. But you will get the free shipping. You also get stuff. You get a mystery gift. You get the DVDs. And, you know, all in all, the thing that usually gets me is like, ooh, half off. So it makes getting things to put in you a lot nicer. So you can get this guy for $17.48 plus tax, free shipping, and you can get a pretty glass thing to stuff in you. So, yes.
Yay.
Yay. So back to the email.
Back to emails. Just doing our show notes while we work on it. All right. I'll just show you this video once.
The one for the video?
The song for the... There's actually a video that goes with the song.
Okay.
That I linked in the show notes.
Yay, because we are useful and helpful and sometimes on the ball, but not always. Like, it's Tuesdays occasionally. That's late and I'm tired. Leave me alone.
Not that late. It's only 9:38.
Who read the last one? Was it me or you? I've slept since then.
I believe that I read the last one, so it would be your turn, Shiva.
Let's see. First time advice. Dear Notcasters, I would like to say off, I recently came across your podcast and I'm slowly working my way through the mountain of work
you guys have already
done. Love the show so far, and I'm looking forward to what's coming in the future. I had always put myself off as straight, but I recently came out to my friends as bi. They didn't find it surprising at all, but there was the occasional hug, and you're finally admitting it. The reason for this was that in February, I met my boyfriend and knew the secret wouldn't stay hidden from my friends for very long anyways, so I might as well tell them myself. My family, on the other hand, considering that they are a highly conservative Southern Baptist, I can't imagine finding out their son is bi is going too smoothly. So they are still in the dark on us. My boyfriend and I are currently doing a long-distance relationship, and we have it set and laid out for him to move here in December. We're going to be getting an apartment together, and as far as my family is concerned, he's just a friend of mine from college who is helping me pay rent. I'm undecided if I will ever let them know what's actually going on. I do feel a little bad because my boyfriend has told his immediate family, and they are all supportive. Now, enough background, on to the subject of the email and my question. My boyfriend is 22 and I'm 19. We are going to be each other's first sexual partner of either gender. Do you guys have any advice for us getting it done? We've both been in relationships before, but neither of them went very far. Both of us are excited and nervous about the same time, and any advice on this area helps immensely. Thanks in advance and keep the show going. Sorry if in retrospect if I went on a little bit too long there. Sincerely, a new Sheppy fan, your new Sheppy fan. So, first time, you're both going to be jitters. You're both going to be scared. Don't be surprised if you're shaking and laughing and giggling and, you know,
going, just, I never done this before. And don't judge me.
Don't also be surprised if you or he or both have a little bit of problems keeping it hard, nerves, can make things wilt.
Yep.
I've had that happen to my partner. Obviously for me, I don't have anything wilt, but...
But nerves are still something that can definitely inhibit your fun. And it's not really not your fault. It's just being with somebody is all for the first time is always something...
Jittery,
imposing. First of all, definitely get comfortable with each other's bodies. You know, seeing another person naked is kind of a weird thing until you get used to it. And just take it really slow. Know what you're going to do and communicate that, because you don't want to be like, I think I'm going to jam it in right here, all right?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
And, first time, if you guys do anal the first time and don't just, mouth and hands, go slow. For God's sakes, go slow. And who's ever on top and who's ever on bottom, if somebody says it hurts, break. Stop. Don't move. Listen to whoever is receiving, because you can do them damage. Go very slow. Use fingers, use toys, whatever. If it hurts, stop.
I mean, communication really is key. So, saying, hey, that doesn't feel good, or that does feel good, or oh God, I'm coming, Communication.
The latter is much better than the first one of, oh God, that hurts versus we,
Why is there so much blood? There shouldn't be any blood.
So just be prepared to not try to take it super serious. The first time is not usually like it is in the movies, where it's all romantic and soft mood lights. And I mean, it can be.
It can be romantic, but it's still going to be awkward and still going to be a little weird because it's your first time. And as long as you go into that knowing that it's not going to be this glorious romantic thing where...
And there's going to be a lot of giggling and a lot of nerves. Just, have fun, explore, kind of go...
Well, plus, also going into it with the expectation that it's going to be giggly and all that also helps it, not be disappointing.
Yes.
Because, if you come in with these illusions that it's going to be this majestic thing that, bards will sing of in the years to come, you're not going to feel so good. But if you enjoy yourselves and you don't take it super seriously, I think you'll be fine.
Yes. That's pretty much it.
And wear a condom.
Yes.
Wrap your junk, kids.
Well, let's see.
That'd be my turn.
Yes.
Advertising the show. Dearest Notcast, I've forgotten what songs I've had on my iPod because of you. The show's been that good. I started listening to mainly older episodes a few months ago. Has really been half a year of listening. And I've reached the threshold with only 30 or so episodes left unheard. And he's still listening.
God.
That amazing. A little backstory. I am, in fact, a mentally different dragon. At least four of my closest friends have some sort of high-functioning autism, ADHD, or just poor judgment. Yes, in fact, we are all dragons.
Yeah.
Just a little shout out.
Yeah.
I seem to have become sort of a conflict resolutioner among my friends that I encounter online. I've used much of your advice in recent time, consoling a few friends and even seeing them become less of the mopey, whiny furs that so abundantly appear within the menagerie of the furry populace. Insert Savern or Fuzz saying, "We're helping here. We're helping." This is where many writers of the show would ask for advice, but here's the catch. You've answered them all at some point, but in so many episodes, the information is hard to find again. My question is there a place where old emails might be readable, and by using an episode date that corresponds to the day of the email, I could find the advice that I remembered being so helpful? Thanks for doing what you do and for having continued for nearly 200 episodes. The Storm Dragon with a rambling tongue from Dairyland, USA. Voltar Q. Zefferson, Star Commander. I had the last part. P.S. The other option, how can I convince my fretting friends to give your show a listen for when you give that golden bit of wisdom? Most of them see the vast number of episodes and freeze as if they've seen a spiral staircase. Dragon noise. I'm willing to try just about anything to get them to start listening. Oh. Well, I would suggest starting near the current shows because, well, that's the current stuff. And if you do write in a question that we've answered before, we're still probably going to answer it again. Because. I mean, not if we've in the last like 5 episodes we're going to answer it, but there's hundreds of hours of our content out there. And while we really do appreciate you listening to every little bit of it and applaud your masochism, we don't keep the emails around. We read them all. We try to reply to them all, but we don't keep them around. And a lot of our older stuff is, you know, we printed them out and then shredded them after they were done and or deleted them from the mail server. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
So I would say just get your friends listening to something more recent. And if they have a question that they really, really need a hand with, just write into the show. Notcast@foxstuffers.com. We read everything that comes in.
Okay.
You know, bad grammar and all. I just might
sometimes
make fun of
them. Decoder ring, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one's really fast. Facial fur. I was wondering about Fursona facial hair. I don't know that most of us have muzzle fur, but I mean a stylized beard mustache. Questions are they terribly uncommon, and how odd would they look be? I've seen a couple characters with them. Usually, I don't know, I've seen a couple, like, canines.
Yeah.
I've seen everything from it's implied by just the coloring to actually having, like, longer, bushier.
Yeah, that's what I see in a lot of stuff. Like Blotch's character design, Diego, that guy, he has, like, the longer chin tuft.
Well, the one that really comes to mind for me is Wielder. She does kind of a crossover between furries and Star Wars, and she's got kind of a Anakin. He's got a really kind of, I think a dog or a wolf, I'm not sure which, but he's got like fluffier goatee almost, and it looks halfway decent.
Mm-hmm.
So unusual, but can be done.
Yeah, it's not that uncommon. And as long as it's not like I am this glorious golden wolf with a black Fu Manchu, well,
I don't know. I could see that working too.
It would stand out. It would be a little weird, but it's not that uncommon, and if you were to go with that as a character design,
you'd be kind of unique.
There you go. Unique. And you don't even need an angel wing or a demon wing.
Or a unicorn horn.
Or a tail made out of wings. Or a mane made of unicorn horns. And a donut steel.
So, your turn again.
Unless... All right. Oh, here's a wordy one.
Yeah, that's why I took the quick one.
I see what you did there.
I know, it's clever.
Long-distance heartache. Hey, naughty ones. It's been a good few months since I sent anything to you guys, as school took a heavy toll on the fact that I passed my classes while dealing with some minor colds and stressful medical issue involving my diabetic doctors leaving the state and being tossed in the directions of another one. Thankfully, things have settled down for the moment, and I was able to screw my head on straight just to scream for some help from the every podcast listener's favorite furry dorks. That'd be us. So here's a bit of an off-topic problem, and afterwards a small on-topic thing about my fetishes, I suppose. And I apologize right now in case this is a mountain of text. Not really.
I've seen worse.
So the off-topic... yeah, we've really seen worse. So the off-topic problem has to do with a former long-distance ex of mine. He's not a listener or a furry of any kind. But I just need to vent about this, and maybe even get an outside opinion or advice that could help out. I have known my ex since the end of last year, meeting through a dreadful online game of Second Life, just poking at the game on a boring night instead of working on schoolwork. We talked after he hemmed me out of the blue and decided to talk more outside the dreadful polygon world through Skype and Facebook. Ah, there's your problem right there, Facebook. The more we talked, the more I realized that I liked the guy as a friend, while he really was really head over heels for me. At the time, he was the dreadful red badge, and I wasn't even sure myself about even having a relationship because he was depressed and mentioned he was suicidal. Of course, it made me stay away from relationship gunshot as we were thousands of miles apart on two different sides of the country. After a few months, we still talked, and he always talked about how he was getting help and confessed that he loved me. I was in sheer horror and stunned, mostly since I don't even get looks at school from anyone that would even seem like I'm interesting or appealing. He suggested about us trying a long-distance relationship, and I agreed since we talked for long hours during the last few months after I was finished with classes and schoolwork. Our feelings went on and off before we broke up mutually after 2 months of on-and-off relationship situations. We stopped talking for weeks and occasionally said hi over Skype and asked how the other was doing with our lives. It soon went over a few months before we fully had a conversation. That was when he was telling me of his new girlfriend. I was happy for him when I knew that I haven't been... I was happy for him when I knew that I haven't been doing well for myself, but I forced a grin as we talked for a little before the last time we talked was a mere few weeks after about breaking up with his local girlfriend of his. It's a bit of a word salad. Mm-hmm. I guess the problem lies that even after the breakup, I still feel and wish that we can try and be together again. But I bite my tongue and just wish for him to be happy, as we had a hard time when we were together because of the distance, and with me not supposed to be in any relationship in the first place because of the overprotective mom, frowny face. With these feelings coming up to the surface, I don't know what to do, since I can only find myself either confessing to him that I want to be together again, or the relationship... but the relationship suffering like before, and the other option is to just bite my fist and not say a word so he lives things perfectly fine without any relationship stress because of me. I'd love to wait around and see, but how stressful I've been with my family life otherwise, this has been eating at me for a while now. If you guys give me advice, I would be so fucking grateful. So, long distance, thousands of miles apart. But he didn't like being single.
Yeah.
So, here's my computer chair analysis, because I'm sitting at my computer chair. I don't have a armchair.
Yeah.
I should get an armchair, so I can get my armchair analysis.
And get a bowl pipe.
Yep, and a fez. So, basically, what I'm seeing here is that you're lonely in school and really, really want to be in a relationship. And you're willing to be with somebody who you didn't really get along with and had relationship struggles with because you don't want to be alone.
That sounds like you're kind of settling. And
yeah. First of all, LDRs in college, they'll fuck you up. They're really not smart. And school really needs to take precedence, especially over relationships. And that's just my opinion. I would say don't settle for this guy. You know, find somebody in your local group. Find somebody on campus. I am sure that there are a number of people of either gender, because you're bi, because you're just, you know, awesome that way. You can go either way. You can find yourself some cool people. Like, find yourself the LGBTA. Go to the GSA, you know, whatever gay, lesbian, bi, trans student union that your school has. If you're going to a real school, meet some people there, and you will find people from all over the spectrum, and I think you would probably do well to investigate locally and within that kind of group, if at all. What do you think?
Oh, I think you got pretty well. I mean, it really sounds like you're kind of clinging for... You don't want to be alone,
and that's understandable. I mean, nobody wants to be forever alone.
Yeah, and you're kind of going for the first thing that comes along, and that can also leave you in a bad state if one of you, or if you find somebody else who you actually have a lot more serious feelings for, but then what do you do because you're in a relationship, you know? I would honestly try to resist the urge, and yeah, it is lonely, but...
Plus, there was that little bit that the person, at least at the beginning, was still a red badge. If you're in college, as tantalizing as the fresh meat is, you should probably try to find somebody closer to your age.
Yes.
Just saying. I mean, age difference is not so big a deal when you're a little bit older, you know, your 30s, like us. But if you're in college and they're just getting out of high school, there's going to be a world of difference. And then there's also the whole 1,000 miles apart thing.
Yes. I think you'll find long-distance relationship, especially if you're already lonely, is just going to be more frustrating. Because when you're lonely and you want someone, you're going to... there's only so much typing on a computer screen and texting as such that's going to fill that need. Sometimes it makes it worse, and it tends to tie you to a computer, tie you to a phone, and it makes it harder. Or at least in my opinion and in my experience, long distance relationships suck, especially when it's hard to lessen the distance either through visiting or something. So yeah, that's our opinion, and do with it what you will.
Yep, because we're good at opinions. So, okay. Let's
see. Next, refresh.
Ah, this is a cool one.
Just a little fanboyism?
Yep.
Yeah, I wish we could share it better with our viewers. Let's see. I have no idea how to pronounce the greeting.
Buenas tardes, los castadores. Zeiss, the lazy Sergal, writing in from Chileland.
Fine, just steal the email, take it.
You can read the rest of it.
An ugly, long, phallic-shaped country in South America, FYI. Yes, we know where Chile is. We have maps.
Your flag looks like Texas' flag. You done stole it.
Sending you some pics I took from a small con Furkigen, or Furki, I mean, that took place yesterday. It had a generic anime faggotry, Pokemon, Harry Pottery, and even Templars, with smithing and sword fighting panels. And guess who was there? Pun intended. Greetings from South America. Congrats on the good work. Keep those knots casted, ears flapping, couches sitting, and lots of loves from here. Zakes. I dare you to say I have no idea what that is.
I'm going to Google Translate that.
But he sent us a whole bunch of pictures from the con, and it looks like a con anywhere else. You know, they've got dealer's den stuff and a guy in, you know, 11 get up. I mean, it's a con. You could have picked it up and put it down from anywhere else. And it's really cool that it's down in Chile. Let's see. What did he try to get us to say?
I do poop.
No.
No, I don't. Rule 3.
That's probably why he's trying to get us to say it.
Google Translate has defeated you. But yeah, it's really cool that things like, well, obviously this is very going to be very, I wouldn't say national centric. I would say ethnocentric. No, I don't know. I think it's really cool that that cons are happening all over the world now.
Yeah.
That pretty much every country in like North and South America, Europe, Asia can have a convention for stuff like that. Because I know there's like stuff in Mexico and, you know, various South American countries, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, all that stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, it looked really...
So, that's really cool. And there's a pretty good Chilean doctor. Going with the bow tie. Bow ties are cool.
Yes. So.
All right. So here is another email. We are just plowing through these tonight. We still have half an hour left.
Oh, we still got a lot of emails, so.
Well.
That's fine.
We're going to go to 2 hours or we're going to run out of emails. One way or the other.
Both? Possibly.
Oh, we'll see. Breaking up with friends. Dear Notcasters, I've been listening to the show for a while, but this is my first time emailing you. I have a difficult choice to make, and I would like your input on it. I just entered into college over last week, and while at orientation, I met another fur who was also attending the school for their first semester. After the orientation, we started having lunch together and hanging out during my break. I first suspected that she may have not been all right when she called and left a message about her having a panic attack. When I called her back, she told me that it was nothing, and I went on as if nothing had happened, like a reasonable person. Later this week, we've only known each other for about 2 weeks as of writing, she took me to a good spot and started telling me about her history with depression, parental issues, past relationship problems, and her past habit of self-harm. I, currently dealing with semi-success of his own social disorder, was taken aback and reduced to silence and short one-word responses. That Saturday, after thinking that would be the last of having to act as a therapist, I was greeted to another call from her regarding another panic attack, this time about her scratching her parents' car. When I later got a text from her about her really wanting to hurt herself right now, I started to question whether or not the friendship would work. I fear that if I continue as I am, I'm going to be emotionally burnt out by the end of the semester. How would you guys think I should handle this? Any tips you would have would be graciously accepted. Your shy Labrador, Eden Lyra.
Ooh, getting latched on by the awkward furry.
I'm not even, like, this isn't a furry thing. This is, like, a person thing. You, sir, have been attached by an emotional vampire. And I mean that in a very loose sense, not literal sense.
They don't sparkle.
But they do drain your energy. Mm-hmm. Because she has found something in common with you, she has decided that you are her new best friend, and she's going to dump everything wrong in the world on your unsuspecting shoulders. This happens occasionally. And unfortunately, the solution does not involve a spike, garlic, or holy water. I think that, especially the fact that you've only known you for like 2 weeks and she dumps all this on you, that she is looking for an outlet and you are currently that outlet, but it's not something that you yourself are really capable of handling. And not, that's not a knock against you. I mean, you're going to college and you're trying to get your shit together and you've got your own problems, and having somebody drop everything on you like that is not really fair. I do think that you need to tell her that while you may or may not appreciate her as a person, you really can't function as her therapist, and that she should probably see counselors on campus because those are usually free, especially if you're going to school.
I would just actually just keep pushing her towards, I don't know, you really should seek.
Yeah, I mean, just push her in that direction. Say, I don't know what to do to help you. You should probably go see a counselor. Hey, I really think you should talk to counseling. Because most schools, or like mental health is a very important aspect of college. And a lot of schools take it really seriously. Mm-hmm. Because when they don't, crazy shit happens.
Yeah, kids kill themselves.
Or go on rampages or anything like that. You know. Mental health is serious business. Make sure it's taken care of. What do you think, Shiva?
Oh, I think you pretty much nailed it, actually.
Yay!
I mean,
it's like I've been doing this a while.
Try to divorce yourself from the situation because...
Yeah. Basically, hanging out around her, doing this to you all the time, is going to drain your energy. It's going to drain your enthusiasm.
It's going to...
And stress you out.
Yeah, and you don't need that in college.
No.
Especially not the first semester.
Yeah. Because you fuck up your first semester, oh my god.
Yeah.
Don't. Just don't. You need positivity and support. And hey, you know, you can go to counseling too and talk to them and be like, hey, you know, I've got this chick or this dude, chick.
It's a chick
that is like just dumping this stuff on you that you're not comfortable or capable of helping. Can you like refer her? You know, I'm sure they would be happy to talk to her too.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can get yourself out from under the situation without too many screaming, tear-filled calls.
Okay, so onwards and upwards and outwards.
Yay!
Hello again, Renis Tora here. I actually have much to say this time, other than the fact that I can understand what Fuzz, I think it was Fuzz, said about ruins and abandoned places. I checked that Tumblr you mentioned, and just wow. I personally like the scenes of overgrowth. I guess it's a mix of natural beauty, nature taking things back, and something like not being able to look away from a train wreck or other disaster. Not more of a curiosity, but sort of similar. I really like artwork in particular, not just photographs like, say, this, and he links to it. Anyway, keep up the good work. And he links it to... It's loading, 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 loading. Internet, go faster. Oh, that's kind of pretty. It's kind of a... looks like a nature reclaiming, like a Japanese temple?
Or abandoned porn?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a castle tower thing. And then you've got a Blockbuster Video and...
Mm-hmm.
Cars and...
It's pretty.
Abandoned Walmart being turned into the world's largest library.
Yeah, I saw that. That was kind of
nice. Or America's largest library.
Yeah, I like that.
That's actually in Texas, by the way.
Really? I thought it was elsewhere.
Nope.
Okay. Well.
It is in... It was an abandoned big box store. It was a Walmart in McAllen, Texas. It was even, like, built recently.
And it's just died?
Yeah. And it's the largest single-floor public library in the U.S. So, I put a link to the abandoned porn Tumblr, which is all the pretty abandoned place photos. And the story about the Walmart turned into library is also linked. So you should check that out.
Okay. So, I've seen some of those. I mean, usually they just come across my stumble upon and, along with all the other stuff. And it's neat.
Yep. All right. So, I come with a red lipstick V. Okay, it's more like half a V. This message has been edited down. Sorry if it's abrupt. I deleted the first 100 or so words. I've taken a long time to really admit that I much prefer furry erotica much more than any other fare. I've seen just about everything. After more than a decade of looking, I keep gravitating back to the furry fandom. I'm currently being pushed to make new friends by my better half, and I'm trying to find information about the Chicago fur communities. I'm guessing there's more than a few in the area, and I'm looking for people with similar interests, and, well, what better place than a community of people I think that shares my interests. My better knows that there are some things I'm just not comfortable talking about with her, which is odd for a relationship. She will admit to anyone while she's okay with people living their lives as they please, so long as nothing is hurt in the process, she sometimes requires a period of adjustment.
I can understand that.
While she's aware of the fact that I'm more gay than straight, we talk about men often enough. We'll forever disagree which actor from Supernatural is hotter. She loves Jared. I'm all Jensen.
Oh, the God. Dean all the fucking way.
I suppose sorry. I should watch that show at some point. It's on Netflix. I don't know.
Yeah, do. I mean, they're all good, but Micah. I'm sorry. Castiel is pretty damn hot, too. So, okay. Anywho, diverting. I'm a Dean girl.
The problem is that while she's okay with my lifestyle choices, so long as I don't like country music or dogfighting, her interests are different, but she can't relate to being turned on by a nice canine/equine cock. And so, places, any direction you could give for finding groups in larger cities would be wonderful. Your adoring skin suitor, Ari, the former porn peddling skin suited furry. Hope that's not too bad. Also, any suggestions on being a formless furry would be appreciated.
Formless?
Like, you're a goo furry! Like a Japanese goo girl.
Yeah, I've seen those. There's
just quite a few. You know, you don't even need an orifice. Just stick your dick in you.
Squidge, 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 squidge.
Well, I don't know about horsecock enthusiasts in Chicago, but I imagine that the Chicago furry scene would be decently big because MFF's up in that area.
Yeah. MFF might be your first good launch point, actually.
Midwest Fur Fest came from TV.
Well, even if he goes up there, I mean, one, it's a big community. Two, if he actually gets involved with, like, if he can get involved with the con itself, that'll be a big linchpin. Because anytime you get involved with a local con, you tend to get a lot of local people. Lord knows I know that. let's see.
Wow.
What are you giggling about?
Just, what is this? It's a Savage Love comment from August 25th, 2011. And, and one of the questions is, so my son's a furry.
Mm-hmm.
Or 6 months ago, my 17-year-old son told he was seeing insert male name, no biggie. What troubles me, my son and his boyfriend are furries. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, furry shmurry. Just make sure that they're doing playing around right. But it was just one of those things when I searched for Chicago furry, it came up because it was in the Chicago Reader. But MFF is totally coming up November 16th to 18th. I think that would be a fantastic place to meet some interesting furries. There is a furries group in Chicago, I think. There's a So Furry group called Chicago Furries.
I know that there used to be, I know that just regionally, I know there was a bunch of Minnesota
Chicago doesn't
furs.
Actually have a meetup furry group.
I know there's a bunch of Minnesota furs. I know that there was, I'm trying to remember the kind of regional list for out there. Yerf? I think it was something like that. It's not TAF. LAF. Lake Area Furry Friends. Look up LAF. I think LAFF on the... That used to be the big social circle for when I was up there.
Let's see. LAF. LAFList.org. LAFFLAST.
And they probably have a forum.
Welcome to LAF, the homepage of Lake Area Furry Friends Community. So Wikia.
That's a big regional thing. So I know there's some Chicago furs on there.
Huh. Badges required?
Badges required?
Oh.
So, yeah.
You have to have a meetup group badge to do this thing at this event because money or something. So I'm going to put a link to the LAF group in the show notes because, hey, I like doing that. I hope the people have found us adding extra links and shit to the show notes have been helpful because we try to be helpful.
Well, at least not harmful. So, let's see. I think the Red Lipstick V was more... Isn't that a Rocky Horror reference?
Yep. That I managed to see that live without ever getting that V on my forehead.
I still have yet to actually see it live.
I saw it at AllCon. 2 years ago.
Yeah, I've seen the movie a million times. Have not actually seen it live yet.
It was okay.
I saw some tits. I think it depends on what group's putting it on that can really.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It was pretty fun. So, you know, whatevs.
Okay, so the amazing acts of charity of the furry fandom can extend to a sick aunt as well. This was sent back on the 30th. Dear crew that casts the knots, Top Knot Dragonbane here, long, long, long time listener. I've written in once before on the other podcast episode, insert eerie shout out to the Wolfie Man. Though I doubt you'll remember me, heh. Your inside jokes have become my inside jokes. I have my non-furry fandom friends spouting furry jokes, and your humor has gotten me through a lot. My relationship is also all the stronger for your advice to others and to those who write in, and I thank you for it. And let's not forget that some of the hilarious things have gone on during my live stream when I've had you all running as my audio. This time is a more serious matter, unfortunately. I come to you to ask for help and perhaps getting some amazing kindness I've heard about from the furry fandom, now being famous for... we have a song about now, come on. I have no idea. I understand that I'm writing into your catch-up email week, episode 190... But it was just a bit of a shout-out from the Nutcast crew that would be amazing, and I would be forever grateful to you guys if you're willing. I am currently single-handedly running a charity for my Aunt Sissy called the Save Sissy Projects. Donations are welcome, of course, but I am also taking all different kinds of commissions, as well as in order to raise money for her. Feel free to skip this part if it starts getting Wall of Texas, but Sissy is a sassy crafter, with a firecracker attitude, and I don't know a single person who doesn't love her. She is currently dying of multiple cancers, including cancer of the liver, the kidney, melanoma, blood cancer, and thyroid cancer, because she cannot afford the $200 a pop treatments that she needs. She can't get Medicare until October, so we need somebody to help her get through until mid-October. They want her to get at least one of these treatments a week. The thought is an amazing woman who has done so much in her life to help others and who has already survived several other kinds of cancer just wasting away because the company she has been with for years and years dumping her literally makes me sick to my stomach. I've included a copy of the poster for you guys to see, as well as a link to Save the Sissy Project, if you'd be so kind to include it in the show notes. People can also just Google my LJ account, Viva La Top Knot, and that's V-I-V-A underscore L-A underscore Top Knot. That's T-O-P-K-N-O-T, haha. And find the project that way. If you'd like to donate, you can simply send the money to this and that at hotmail.com, or if you'd like to get some neat art about it, just visit the link and get in touch with me. And he gives a link. Hoping and crossing all nine of my toes, it's harder than it sounds, Captain Totnot Dragonbane. So, that kind of sucks. Do you have any kind of community hospital? I know, like, here we have
Parkland. Yeah, it's like...
And they really don't turn you away there. You may pay for it the rest of your life, but they won't turn you away.
So I put a link in the show notes so people can check out your LJ.
Yeah, see if we can't get that tweeted soon.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. But, man, that sucks. I'm sorry. She sounds like an awesome
cancer
person.
Sucks.
Yes. So, good luck. I hope she pulls through. Okay. All right. So, your turn.
Yep. And we're down to, like, three emails because... This last one is like three emails in one. All right. How to say you don't want to be friends. Dear Notcast, I have a problem that's really bothering me, and I could really use some help figuring it out. There's a guy I know through my work as a writer, someone who commissioned me several years ago and whom I became friends with online, chatting on Messenger, etc. For a year or so, we were fine, just talking now and then, me writing him stories he paid for, and yes, I considered him a friend. We did some online RP, and our characters interacted sexually within stories, but I never considered it more than just our characters playing around together. Then we fell out, or I rather fell out with him. For a long time, we didn't speak. I moved on, rather happily, in fact, and thought nothing of it. Unfortunately, in recent months, I keep getting emails and notes from the guy asking if we can start talking again, if we can be friends again, etc., and I just don't know how to tell him that I don't want that. The reasons we fell out were from pretty fundamental differences of opinion, and while I hold nothing against him and think he's a perfectly fine guy, if a little clingy, I just don't feel that we'd be able to get along any better this time than we did last time, knowing what we know about one another. Plus, since we stopped talking, I've been through some rather dramatic life changes of my own. So much of what he thinks he knows about me no longer holds true. I've said all this to him already, but he comes back with comments like, "But how do you know we can be friends if you don't try?" I don't want to have to start blocking the guy in FA, email, messengers, etc., because he knows I'm trying to ignore him. He'll definitely kick up a fuss and cause more drama. I'm even afraid to put up auctions on Furby because I'm worried he'll try to win one just to force me into engaging with him. What can I do? What can I say to this guy that make him understand that what he needs to move on and stop trying to cling to a friendship which one half of it does not even believe to be there anymore? Any advice could be greatly appreciated. Jeeves of the Rue. P.S. I don't know if the guy listens to the Notcast, but if he does, I guess you just reading this email might do the trick. If it does, thanks in advance. So, hey, clingy dude that's been like, "Hey, Jeeves, you should write me some porn and stuff and be friends." He doesn't want to be your friend. If you're listening, I'm sorry.
You don't sound very sorry.
I'm not. Life changes. People move on.
Sometimes things don't
come. And sometimes people just aren't friends anymore. And that's okay. And people move on and grow up and make new friends. So unfortunately for you, Mr. Anonymous Person, who Jeeves was kind and didn't name, Jeeves isn't interested. And please stop talking to him. Please stop commenting, calling, following, tweeting, forbid purchasing, the like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so
I don't know. I've usually, when I get in this kind of situation, I usually just kind of stop responding. I don't. Yeah. I kind of stop being an active participant, and I just drift away. But honestly, sometimes that's just me being a derp, so it can be hard to say.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is that furries are, well, nerds in general, are really afraid of confrontation. And this is a confrontation moment where you need to be like, "Look, dude, I'm not interested. You need to move on because I have." And that gives a lot of us in the community kind of little jitters because, oh, we want to be everybody's friends and furries as nice and friendly and happy, fluffy creatures, but we're also real people behind the screens. And sometimes you don't get along with certain people, and nothing is going to change that. And if you have fundamental differences of opinion in many different ways, odds are you're not going to be friends. So don't try to push the issue.
And sometimes take a hint and, you know, just kind of go, eh. Though it is kind of hard when you want to be friends with someone and, you know, they just, it can be hard just where you don't quite understand what's wrong with me type thing. So,
yeah. So there you go. Hope that helps, Jeeves. Next one. Hey, we're going to get in under the wire if we keep it up.
Maybe.
Sort of.
Maybe.
Hop to it.
Hop, hop. Jeez, Roo. Dork. Funny you should mention it, but... Hey, Fox Stuffers. John Blackpog again. I found it rather interesting when the last episode you guys mentioned... You just noticed in the fandom that there seems to be a correlation of subs with massive cocks. Well, it just so happens I can corroborate this a little. Both me and my boyfriend are quite subby, and I'm not bragging. I'm merely saying this is as interest from what you said, but both me and him are just short of 8 inches in that department, him being just a little less girthy than me. I wonder if this trend you mentioned is pure coincidence, or there's actually a correlation of well-endowed subs in the fandom, or indeed anywhere else. Anyway, I hope I'm not late for Wheel of Fetishes for part two. It's B. Part B. Well, I would say I'm kind of vanilla as for fags go, but that's up to you to judge. I rather like switching mid-play between dom and sub and vice versa, being held down or restrained while I'm being dominated, but not to the point of ropes and duct tape. Hand-guiding, light-biting, neck-kissing, I love giving oral, not to be mixed with a previous kink. Pegging, you're welcome, Fuzz. Wearing panties is a huge turn-on for me. I love it. I love the idea of femboys. I wish I could get into that, and I may do some days, regardless of me being 6'3". I've been told I look very feminine. Anyway, guys, I love the show. Keep it up. By the way, Saverin's voice still makes me moist.
Excellent. vanilla furries. I love giving oral. Yes. yeah, sounds pretty good. That, as for the cock thing, well, yeah. I wonder how, I would have to have this grand tour of furry subs and, you know, break out the very scientific measuring device and measure all of their cocks.
Do a ratio. Are you subbing?
Get some hands-on situations here. You're like, oh yes, this one's quite nice.
This play one's like sub, a flute. That one's dom, that one's sub, that one's dom. Get to where if you just reach it down and juggle a little, it's like, yeah, you're
a subby little bitch, aren't you? My, it's like 10 inches. You haven't used that at all, have you? Are you sure you're not part horse? So, here comes the final email of the night. We're going to squeak in probably a little bit after... 2 hours, but you can deal with it because this is free. All right. So, hi, Knotcasters. I'd like to share my thoughts on MFM 2012. Here I am, just kind of going la di da. I went back 2 years momentarily. Holy crap. To know what I knew now then. Hi, Knotcasters. I'd like to share my thoughts on MFM 2012. Holy crap, that was fun. MFM was my first FurCon, and I would seriously consider my FurCon cherry popping a huge success. I was able to meet Fuzz and Shiva. I was the guy with the Rita book bag, and to my pleasant surprise, Zapnut 2. I got to meet Duskmeat and asked her what happened with the whole JCPenney stole my art thing, and had no idea James Lane, author of Redeeming Factors, was a regular at MFM, and I was very pleased to get to chat with him. And then the tornadoes came, and we had to run through the rain, and I had to comfort a girl having a panic attack, and my friend had to comfort a woman having a panic attack who was 7 months pregnant. TornadoCon was exciting, to say the least. On the whole, I consider my first FurCon a huge success. I finally met a local furry community after living in my city, Cooksville, Tennessee, for 5 years now. Continue some... I am curious what the Notcasters do professionally or simply what you guys do for work. I'm also curious, since you'll spend so much time and energy organizing, running meetups, podcast cons, and free publications, do you include the activities on a resume when you have to submit one for a job? It could be a fun conversation starter. Sincerely, Oberon. Derp from his herp.
I remember Oberon. So, yes, I do remember you. And not even the bag. I remember the badge. Let's see. I do tech support. I do a lot of different things. I do QA work, tech support, a little bit of database maintenance for a company that sells residential homes. Let's see. And as for what I would include on a resume, of all the stuff I would do, I think I would might include Furry Fiesta, just because I'm on the board of directors for that, and I'm been doing it for, this will be year 5. So that's borderline getting to something that might actually be worth claiming. I mean, it's a large event. It is a business I'm involved with. You know, we pay taxes, and we have a rather large budget. So it's something I could claim on a resume, but that's about the only thing I would claim.
Let's see. So, I mean, it's one of those contextual things. Professionally, I'm a housewife. I have my little associate's degree, have had no luck finding a job, and I know that you have experience with that occurring in your household as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep the house. I do laundry, dishes, trash, all that fun stuff. I need to vacuum. My carpet looks terrible. And as for resume stuff, I could put Furry Fiesta on there.
You're a director as well.
I'm a director, a founding member of the event.
Yeah.
Been there since day one. And when it comes to the podcast, though, I would say that gives me experience in like audio engineering, maybe audio production. And the fact that I can stick to a project, considering that I've done over 250 episodes of podcasts all around,
mm-hmm.
Culminating in probably well over 500 hours of content.
Yes. So, would you put that on a resume, though?
It would really depend. If I was looking for something in radio, which I'd totally be interested in, but there's not any openings.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told to have a nice voice, and that could be a way for people to go listen to examples of it. But probably wouldn't put specific details unless really specifically asked. Oh, so you said you do this kind of podcast. What's it called? Well, it's a this, kind of like that. But what's the name? Funny you should ask. But yeah, it's contextual. Yeah. If I was applying for something in the radio and somebody wanted to see my chops, then they totally could. I would probably list it and talk to them. Because it is, it is a hobby. It's something I do every week. It is a hobby that I list, podcasting. So that if I did get an interview somewhere, that would probably be asked, oh, you list that you're a podcaster. What do you do? It's like, well, let me tell you.
Also depends on...
I give relationship advice to furries. And talk about cute marshmallow equines.
Pillowy butt cheeks.
Marshmallowy butt cheeks. It's on a bite. They wouldn't like that.
Doesn't help that they're white. Anywho, yes.
Or yellow, or blue, or purple, or pink, or orange. All the colors of a peep.
So, yeah. It was nice meeting you, Oberon. I do remember you. So, maybe we'll see you again next Mephit. So,
that's... So, yeah, we have plowed through every email.
Like, I don't know, something that plows.
Like an icebreaker through an ocean of email.
So we need more emails for next week, so write in.
Yep.
Buzz should be back.
Yep, and I should be back. We will have our adventurous tale of Brony fanfare.
Hopefully and not. It won't be a tale of woe.
Or a tale of stabbing.
No stabbing. So.
So, on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.